A smartphone smackdown is brewing. Hundreds of Yahoo employees are getting the pink slip. And just what's going to happen to all that personal information, your email, your address, and so on, that the presidential candidates collected? Here to sort out the digital from the analog is our one and only tech guru, Mario Armstrong. Hi, Mario.
Hey, Farai, I love that. Sort out the digital from the analog.
That's cool. I love the analog, too, like, you know, record players. But anyway.
The old school.
The old school. The truly
Eight-track.
Old school. But speaking of the new school, there's this new phone, the T-Mobile Google phone. It sounds like
a bunch
of stiff competition to the iPhone. And phones are so trendy now. They're like little, you know, it's like, what kind of phone do you have? It's like, you know,
are we
compatible? I don't know. You know, your phone is different than my phone. So tell us about what this actual phone is, but then also this operating system called Android that it's running.
Yeah, and that's really something that's really special about it. But the phone itself is only available right now on a T-Mobile service. It's called the G1. This phone is a touchscreen phone, and it's a smartphone, so it can do all the computing things that you would expect a smartphone to do: surf the internet, send and receive email, do text messaging, photos, uploading things to the web, and so on and so forth. But it does look similar to the iPhone in size, a little bit larger, but not twice the size, but a little bit thicker than the iPhone itself. And it has a slide-out full QWERTY keyboard, which is that full thumb-based keyboard. So it's not just text on. Inputting on the actual screen itself. You actually type on a keyboard. But outside of the phone, that's kind of the features of the phone itself. What's really, really special that you alluded to is what's in the phone. And that's this new Google operating system. And it's called Android. And that's the name of the operating system that's been set up for open source development. Essentially, Farai, what makes this phone special or different than any other phone that's out there is that Google is now creating operating systems for mobile phones and allowing developers and entrepreneurs to create any application, program, or game they can think of for mobile phones. That's a whole different way of how phones have been developed and how the applications have been developed on phones in the past.
When we use words like open source, I mean, sometimes they can go whizzing by as to what actually that means. You do a lot of work in helping younger people get into a place where they can design software or you know, video game elements. What does open source really mean?
Yeah, open source from a technology perspective, and specifically with software, it really means allowing people, a community of people, to contribute to a program or to an application. So it's not controlled. It's not a walled garden approach. In other words, there's not a set of criteria that limits people from participating with an open source project. So in this case, with Android, if you go to the Open Handset Alliance, which is the alliance that's been created by 30-plus tech companies, they now offer the Android software development kit for free. So anyone out there could go to this OpenHandsetAlliance.com website, download the Android software development kit, and understand the parameters of the development, but to be able to be given the tools or the manual, if you will, so that you could start creating your own applications for Android run phones.
And possibly get work down the road because you've created something amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, I liken this, for those that are really kind of confused by this, this is almost like Microsoft is known for its operating system for computers, right? You have HP, you have Dell, you have IBM, you have various computer manufacturers, but they all run the Windows operating system. So you have various cellular phone manufacturers, LG, Samsung, and so on and so forth. But now you have a Google Android software operating system. And so that's how you have to kind of compare this and understand the impact if that you could now create applications that you could charge for. They have a revenue share agreement. So that's why I see this as a major opportunity for us to pay attention to this and get involved.
That's going to be my 12th job. Speaking of jobs, sad news that Yahoo is going to be laying off 10% of its workers, and that's nearly 1,500 employees. Yahoo has had a kind of shaky couple years. That's a tremendous loss of people. What does it really mean for that company?
Yeah, it's a tough time. I mean, everyone's dealing with a rough economic situation right now. And those companies, specifically like Yahoo and others, that really rely on that ad-supported model. I mean, that's a large part of their revenue that they generate is from this advertising. And that's going to continue to be challenging in this economic climate. I mean, we've kind of known that these cuts were coming for a while. We just didn't know how much and how many people would be potentially hurt by this. And, you know, Yahoo has kind of been, looked at as a target by many other technology firms or a couple of other technology firms to buy. So this is, you know, not going to be this isn't going to fix it. It's only 10%. But what this might provide, though, is if it's quality people coming out of Yahoo in this type of economic climate, what we might start seeing is a spurt of technology entrepreneurs that decide, you know what, I'm going to start freelancing with the idea of creating my own company. Or I'm going to take the lessons and the education that I've learned from this global brand and develop my own thing. So I don't think this is totally a bad thing. And I think Yahoo can weather the storm, but it remains to be seen. But clearly they're in trouble.
All right. What happens to your information? And so many people have given out their email to people they don't even personally know. And I'm talking about the presidential candidates. They've given out their email. They've given out their mailing address. They've given out phone numbers. You know, they've sometimes given away other people's information. Where's all that information going to go? And are there any rules about it after November 5th?
Yeah, this is sticky. You're bringing up a sticky issue. I've read both of the privacy policies of the candidates, and you're right. In this information age, they've been collecting everything from email addresses to websites to your favorite hobbies and interests and all types of things about you, as well as mobile phone numbers and things of that nature to contact you and send you text messages. So I looked at both of parties' policies, and they both say that they won't sell your information to any third parties or commercial entities. However, I did notice two distinct differences between them. McCain's says that they might share, the words that they use are may share, your info that you voluntarily provide with like-minded organizations of the Republican Party. So I think to me, whereas they're saying they won't sell it, they're still saying they may share it with these like-minded organizations, and they don't really specify who those organizations are. Now, on the flip side, on Obama's website, I don't see anything as specific as that sentence. I don't even really see anything that says that they won't share the information. At least on McCain's site, they said they may share it. But on Barack's site, I don't even see that they might share it. So that leaves it open.
And so that guarantees they're going to share it.
So I'm a little concerned about that, especially with the amount of technology connections that they have made through this campaign and the amount of donors that they've received through online mechanisms. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But clearly somebody's going to want that data, Farai. There's no way
get a hold of the mass email list and, you know, start asking for Christmas presents or something.
Let me tell you, somebody in the Democratic Party. I'm glad you clarified that. In the Democratic Party is definitely saying, that's a gold mine of data sitting right there.
All right. On that note, Mario, thank you.
Thank you, Farai.
Mario Armstrong is News & Note's regular technology contributor, and he joined us from the studios of the Baltimore Sun. That's News & Notes. Nicole Childers and Christabel and Sia Boadi produced the show. Sasha Woodruff edits and Devin Robbins is our director. Our technical director is Shireen Strausberg. Marcia Caldwell is our drive engineer. Our staff includes Tony Cox, Roy Hurst, Jeffrey Bennett, Jeffrey Gardner, Devin Robbins, Zachary Slobig, Drew Tewksbury, and Sonata Lee Narsis. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. To join the conversation or sign up for our newsletter, visit our blog at nprnewsandviews.org. News & Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. On Monday, pawn shops are doing plenty of business. Retailers are reviving layaway. How's the tough economy changing not only what we buy, but how we buy it? I'm Farai Chidea. This is News & Notes.